Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today I'm joined by Olga Karadikos, who is the CMO of SalesScreen and one of my favorite CMOs of all time. So Olga, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Mason. Happy to be here.
I am really excited to dig into your playbook because the way that you've framed this up to me is you guys at SalesScreen have launched ABM twice. And this is a lot of the lessons that you learned from the first time of like, how do you truly build the ABM program in such a way that it like has a greater likelihood of success. So with that, can you kind of give us the high level of what we're going to be talking through today?
Yeah, sure. So we were very much bought into ABM as a strategy, you know, and we know that logically this should work and pulling resources from a sales and marketing standpoint together makes sense. So we launched a pilot late last year, had our key accounts set to go, had our content, had our plays, had everything ready, our activations. And we found that little by little, like marketing was definitely taking the lead. Marketing was doing their part. Sales was dropping off. And to no fault of their own, they just weren't seeing the signals right away. Sales being sales, they really are there to hunt and find the deals and go after things. And so they were working ABM, but they were also working other accounts. They were also working inbounds, and they were just kind of all over the place. And especially for us, we have full cycle AEs. So prospecting is in their world as well. So when they're prospecting all the way to negotiating, they're looking for quicker wins, you know, and how to get things moving. Yeah. So what we did was kind of relaunch things to really focus on ABM. We started calling it ABE, which was really a mind shift for us. It's account-based engagement. It's account-based everywhere. It's account, whatever you want to call it, it's not marketing. It is an alignment process. And what we've done is relaunch all of our accounts and make sure that sales is so focused on it to the point that they are now working only those named accounts and inbound. So we're really structuring our entire revenue department around this strategy this time around.
And I really loved that call out of inbound or ABE. There's a couple episodes back, I think it was episode 58, and it was a CMO of SetSale that was just talking through, hey, like marketing and sales are often working from different lists, and that's insane because marketing does so much work to get engagement and then sales doesn't do anything with it. Mm-hmm. Or marketing is going after the wrong people because at the end of the day, like we should be on the same page about who we're trying to engage. So I love the call out of like, it's either ABE or it's inbound. Hey, if there's an account that's not on the ABE list, like why is that?
Put it and on, what's the feedback right? loop?
Yeah, I love that. So the other thing I really loved about what we're going to talk through today is just you have really intentionally built out kind of a structure through which you're not doing all of the things all at once because I can get really overwhelming. So I want to dig into kind of how you have started to slow roll the ABM program into full effect. So when we think through like the slow roll, like what does that mean when we talk about slow rolling out the ABM program?
Yeah, I think exactly what you said, it can be so overwhelming, and especially from a marketer standpoint where we want to do it all. We hear about all the cool things being done in the market, all the things we can do. So it's really about making something that's stable, foundational, growing with sales. So what we did was start first with the content. You know, do we have what we need, both from a conversion, an awareness aspect, a consideration aspect? You know, do we have the stuff that will help those ABE accounts learn about us, learn more about us, be educated, and move forward? That needs to span both sales and marketing, right? It's not just what we put out from marketing. Do we have those tools available for sales to share? So we started from there and just made sure we had like an MVP, you know, the bare minimum. We can do, again, more and more and more content, and we'll continue to do that. But do we have enough at each stage that will help those folks? Then it was picking our distribution channels. You know we have our full cycle AEs. We want them cold calling, cold prospecting, and continuing to move people through the funnel. But what we wanted was to kick off from a marketing standpoint and bring in that cold prospecting at the right time. Light ads, one channel. We're going paid on LinkedIn to start. We're going, you know, with organic social, a lot of the elements that were already in place for our demand gen and that are fueling inbound also fuel ABE. So as a focused strategy, the place we're going to put a lot of money in is LinkedIn ads to start. So at least that way we can control and make sure that the contacts on those ABE accounts have seen us. They're starting to learn from us, and then sales is coming in at the right time. And we've got a relatively lean process, but a pretty controlled process. We kind of know where things stand, and then we can start to watch for the signals, see where things are working, and go from there. We don't want to focus first on let's get them everywhere they are, which is very much a marketing hope and dream, you know, but it's just too much to start off. So we're making sure we're doing things that we can go back to sales and be very clear on, like, yes, we did touch this account. They've seen something. We've seen some engagement. Now's a great time for you to get in there and tell them more.
Yeah. And I'm curious on that front of taking one step back around even building that ABE list. Like, how did you go through the process of identifying the accounts you wanted to target?
So we've done it from a couple different angles and came up with a scoring system. So we started with the firmographics. We're very clear on the ICP we want to go after. So we use those firmographics to just select the accounts first. We then layered that with signals. We used both intent signals, again, very basic. We were using ZoomInfo at the time, and, you know, landed on our website. So we saw some level of engagement. In addition to that, maybe they had already had, you know, some very strong prospecting done, or we had seen some strong engagement from past campaigns, any sort of additional green lights, and just started from there. Then we scored all that, kind of gave high, medium, low, and then we worked with sales. So we didn't just say, here you go. It was, here's what we found. What do you think? Another thing we did, because we've really honed in on particular verticals for ICP, we know we want to go hard on one, but that's not enough for our AEs. So we have essentially two parallel programs, one that's focused on our key vertical, which is insurance, and then we have a bunch of other verticals. So we layered most of the accounts in the insurance space, but also gave enough in the other verticals so that those AEs can spread, can find, you know, where they're going to get their number. But we can, again, that coming from, like, we want to create content that's really strong and foundational. It's much easier to do that with one vertical. So we're kind of focused there, but we have enough of a spread.
No, I really, really love the vertical focus. A lot of what we're helping people do is like, what's the vertical? Because to your point, you can get really deep on the content. You get really deep on the buying committees. And then, again, generally speaking, your verticals all live in this in similar channels. So like if you get really vertical specific, you build out your ABM campaign framework of like, these are our data sources. These are our distribution channels. These are the content assets that we need, that we're going to track all of it. And then once you've nailed it in one vertical, you just replicate that across other verticals. I love the vertical focus as an approach for like, how do we get the pilot program off the ground? Couple other things that you called out earlier that I want to like really hone in on. I've talked with a number of people that like focus so much on data and distribution channels that like they get everything set up with their tech stack and they go to launch a program. They're like, crap, we have no content. Like we don't know what to actually send any of these people. So it's just like, I guess book a call, like maybe now. Yeah. And I love the focus that you said, once we identified our list, the next thing was like, what do we send to them? Like, how do we actually engage them in such a way that they want to talk to us? And I just thank you for like calling that out. And I am curious, like, how did you start to actually map content to different stages of an account progression model to even identify where your gaps still lie?
Yeah. And I think one thing that we've done from way before ABE is really move our team and our company to a very thought leadership forward standpoint and clear out the product pushing. Like, product pushing only comes in at the very, very, very end, if that, and should be part of like a conversation with sales, right? The rest is we're here to educate, we're here to help, we're here to provide actionable items. So we were already on the path to having like very strong content. we then started to take that content and cater it to that vertical. So it was easier than starting from scratch, right? But also looking at it from like, what's the pain point that's specific to the insurance industry? How do we identify if this piece of content is helpful? How do we cater it to them? So on and so forth. The easiest part for us was that top of funnel, because we can talk about sales gamification all day. We can talk about the high level pain points all day. We were very strong there. As we continue to go down that consideration cycle, you know, and actually getting to like the conversion and decision process, that becomes a little bit tougher. So I would say where we're still growing is on the conversion standpoint. So we're almost working down funnel too. The conversion standpoint, we came up with a lot of really good stuff in partnership with our sales team. And one of the things they did is take on digital sales rooms. And that has really helped. And we've helped from a marketing standpoint by providing content that helps them to make a very robust digital sales room that then gives their buyers something to really grasp onto, take a look at, you know, you're in the final stages, here's all the information you need, here's ROI results, et cetera. And that mid funnel, that sort of conversion, or sorry, the consideration stages, we've really focused a lot on getting customer stories, getting G2 social proof, things like that. Those take a little bit more time, especially when you want to focus on a specific vertical. So it's about creating like the critical mass of that, where you have enough of a story to tell through the voice of your customers.
I'm curious, when you say a digital sales room, what is that?
So we particularly use GetAccept and we love them. But it's a catered website at the end of the day that's just for that particular customer. And it's sales creating that environment. So, hey, Mason, you know, I've been walking you through sales screen. Here was our first call. Here are our key points that we've talked about. It's a really nice way to frame the conversation specific to your experience. You know, Mason, I know your pain point is X. Here's why sales screen is the solution for that. Here are a bunch of different, whether it's pieces of collateral, we tend not to do that because, again, we want more of a catered experience. It's like providing custom videos or specific product walkthroughs. But it's a way that you can create an environment for that buyer to look at everything that's relevant to them and to that deal.
No, I love that. I'm just thinking through my own sales cycles. Like, I'll make a Vidyard video where I try to summarize the entire sales process into one video and like, so this is your internal team. And like, that's just, it's so much. So I love the idea of like the personalized, hey, here's your central hub for everything around sales grade. And like, that is probably incredible for pipeline acceleration and actually making a really personalized experience.
And it really helps the rep too, right? If you're in a bunch of cycles, you're kind of back and forth and back and forth. Like, where was I with this company and that company? And okay, I remember I did that part of that video. This is relevant here to them at that stage. So it helps to keep things organized at the end of the day too, and make sure that nothing gets missed. Like, okay. And it's there for that buyer to look at whenever is convenient for them, because there's only so much time you're going to have with them in an actual call.
I love that. So again, we've identified who are going after. We started to map out content gaps and thinking through like how to, yes, we engage with thought leadership. Yes, we need some product content, but mostly it's like problem level content and like helping them with the way that they should think moving forward. So love the call out on that from a marketing perspective. I'm curious, you've already mentioned the distribution channels around LinkedIn paid advertising and also the inevitable warm outreach, but I'm curious, are there any other distribution channels that you guys use to actually engage these ABE accounts?
I would say tangentially, they hit sort of a lot of our demand gen functions. So we do retargeting layers. We're very focused on building our organic and paid SEO, so or SEM. So our organic SEO is naturally going to kind of get us in front of them yet again when they're searching the right things. But we also want to make sure that we're tackling, you know, if they are searching a term that is not getting them organically, we're getting them from a paid standpoint as well. So I would say those things are all happening already. So we're not focused on them from an ABE standpoint. They just kind of hit that environment overall. What we're not doing is kind of going after the display network in a very concerted way, sort of the old school ABM tactics that, you know, back in the day, I paid an insane amount of money for those tools that were like, we will absolutely get this ad in front of your target audience in somewhere in Google. It's just you have to spend a ton of money before you really can identify if you're hitting those accounts effectively. We're nowhere near that yet. You know, we want to be sure that we're tackling them person by person.
Yeah. The other thing though, of what you just shared is I love the recognition that we already have other programming running that can be impactful in our ABM program, and we don't have to completely reinvent the wheel. It's more of how do we be intentional to bring right fit accounts into some of our existing marketing streams and then create a personalized experience with some additional touch points in those existing marketing streams that are just general demand generation. I think that's really smart. And I don't think a lot of people actually think through, like, we have a lot going on. The question is like, now how to just be intentional to go get them and bring them into the existing programming.
Yeah. And it depends on how much focus you're putting on attribution as well. And that's the sticky wicket always within our jobs of how much time and effort you're going to put into making sure that you attribute this to the ABE program or to that account or to prove the success. And all of these things work in tangent. And so if you're already bought into figuring out holistically how you're moving things forward, ABE is one arm to all of this. And it's just how you're getting a little bit more refined on getting eyeballs in front of that specific account. And there's a lot of organic things you can do too. You know, there's just from a LinkedIn standpoint, your CEO connecting to those accounts, me connecting to those accounts, the reps connecting to those accounts, and then putting their own thought leadership out, all that's free. It's just time, right? And that's time well spent. So there's a lot of ways that we can tackle these things without having to focus on the paid activities.
Yeah, it's actually a tactic that we run over here whenever a deal gets stalled out in the contract stage. I have our entire delivery team go connect with them on LinkedIn in a single day. And just like connect with all the people in that buying committee as a way of just for the reminder of like, hey, you have a contract in hand and you wanted to kick off next week. But for us to kick off, you got to sign. And like, we're going to go ahead and like start helping you in, like, you're going to start meeting the people you're going to be working with. And it helps. Like, and people will make the occasional comment of like, well, clearly you told your team because then suddenly we were all friends. And it's like, yep, that might have been intentional.
But people buy from people, and that's a great way to do it. You're putting a human face on the brand, and you know, in your case, a lot of people know you, but they're not also going to know who's delivering that product. And it's the same for any B2B brand. There's a whole team behind everything. You might have been talking to that AE the whole time, but oh, I trust that CEO. He knows what he's talking about, or that person, or this person, or they look friendly. They went to my university. You know, there's all other elements of connections that can be made that just make the brand that much stronger.
100%. So one of the things you've already touched on a little bit and kind of the unexpected roadblocks and challenges that inevitably come up in any ABM or ABE program would just be attribution. So I'm curious, as we think through proving that ABE is working, like, how are you approaching, hey, this is moving us in the right direction?
So we're moving towards looking at, you know, do we just have an ABE source in that it sort of doesn't matter how it converted, or, you know, we want to see the touch points, but from a credit standpoint, I really don't care if sales brought it in through a prospecting call or we brought it in through a conversion form. An ABE account is a success for everyone. And I mean, we eat our own dog food at SalesScreen, and we're very much on recognition and announcements and celebrations. So it's sort of like if an ABE account comes in, and especially if it converts and then wins, it's blasted out on our screens and everybody knows within the company. So it's a joint success. So I would almost look at it as like we're focused less. It's just a win if an ABE account is moving forward. And then it comes down to like the op side of things for us to just dig in a little bit more. What pushed that through? It's much less about the credit. It's really about just understanding the journey.
Yeah. And I, again, simply love the recognition that, hey, if this account came in at all, it's probably because of our ABE program. And I've gotten into conversations and arguments of like, well, they filled out the form on the website. I was like, well, yeah, but like, that doesn't automatically mean that it's an inbound. Like, that's great. They booked a call. They're ready to talk. But like, we've been nurturing them and sending personalized specific content for 4 months. Like, what do you mean? So like, just the attribution wars are so exhausting.
It is. And it's just at the end of the day, the whole point of ABE is being around that account until they're ready to buy. You know, the assumption is you've picked them because you've seen some signal that they might be, but they might not be. And if they come back 5 months later, fantastic. however they came in, that means they remembered us, they saw something. That's all we want. Then everybody's efforts have paid off. Eventually, we want to get to the point that we're really assessing like the velocity of things. Okay, great. If they're coming mostly in through website forms, fantastic. What more can we get going? You know, what other conversion points? How do we optimize the conversion? If the ABE account's coming in, it's moving through pipeline, all the better.
I love it. Any other unexpected roadblocks or challenges that you guys had as you were getting your ABM pilot program off the ground?
You know, it's, I think the alignment is definitely something that takes more, you know, resourcing from a people standpoint, lots of discussions, lots of meetings, lots of making sure we're all on the same page, going through the strategy again, reminding, gut checking. You know, I think it's not as simple as just, we're doing this now, let's go. The accounts are good, go. We have a lot of meetings from a leadership standpoint, leadership with the ICs. We have marketing meetings now, so we're connecting once a month. Our demand gen director meets with each sort of country cohort of salespeople every few weeks. Like, we have a lot of touch points just to see how things are going. It's more than just the process. It's really making sure we have those feedback loops throughout the whole. And that's kind of what we failed on in our first pilot, where the assumption was just like, this makes sense. Everybody believes in ABM, you know, let's just go. It's going to work. But it really takes a lot of discussion just to make sure we're correct, you know, and are those accounts still good? Do we need to add some in? You know, is there somebody that's kind of circulating around us that we're missing? It's never as cut and dry as just like, here's 100 accounts, go, we're going to win 30% of them. There's a lot of work that goes behind it.
Yeah, account progression models, and then also the inevitable account regression models that they're no longer the active in market, and then identifying known and unknown accounts. And how do we make unknown account? Like, it's just, there's so much that goes into building active targeting versus just the, we built a list of our Fortune 500, like, let's go. It's easy to start there, but it's difficult to evolve your program if you always just stay with static targeting.
And it depends on how structured your ops is and how much resourcing you have. You know, there's a lot we can do from an automation standpoint, but it's never going to be as good as a rep telling you, I learned this from this call, it's not the right time, or they're pumped and ready to go. You know, like, we need that feedback. We're not going to get that from a signal or an automation.
I love it. All right, last question for you. Of just, if there's anything else you would want to share with people about getting ABM started, like, what's any kind of parting wisdom and advice you'd like to give?
Get your buy-in first and then launch the program. I think have all those discussions, get the feedback, understand what people are concerned and excited about, and just bank on that. Allay the fears, figure out what you need to do to kind of work those concerns. But if they're excited about it, then you're already kicking off your momentum. So I would always start with that alignment and those discussions, and then working the process along with people.
I love it. Well, Olga, thank you so much for joining me today. If we want to find out more about you or SalesScreen, where would you point them?
Go to salescreen.com to learn about sales gamification, and feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm Olga Karanikos, the one with the long last name. And also, I should add, we definitely use Scrappy ABM and love them. So if you need help, go to Scrappy ABM.
Thanks, Olga. Appreciate that. This has been Scrappy ABM. Hope you all enjoyed, and we'll see you in the next one. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.